We're discussing in Zintera like this. We're discussing in Zintera like this. We want to know whether the certain possessions, who do they belong to in the relationship to husband and wife? So we have a case like this. A wife is invited to a Malava Malka event in somebody's house, and she goes to that event, and of course before she eats anything, she goes and washes her hands. When she washes her hands, she takes off her rings. Night carries on, everything's fine. She goes on the way home, she discovers that she has no rings on her finger, and she says, oh, I must have forgotten to put the rings back on my finger. Okay. So she phones up the Balas Habayit, who's hosting the event, and she says, don't worry, the cleaners are doing a proper clean now, and we'll find it in the course of cleaning. The following morning, she contacts the lady who lost the rings and informs her that we couldn't find it. On the phone, the woman says, "Kula Leah, who lost the rings, Leah says, it must have been taken by the waiters, I'll never get it back." So what does she do? She doesn't inform her husband. She doesn't want to upset her husband. So instead of that, she goes to a jewelry shop and buys fake diamonds and fake rings in order to give the impression to her husband that everything is okay and nothing has changed. Then, just before Pesach, as the Balas Habayit who hosted the event is cleaning up and getting professional cleaners in to clean up the house, call him Yossi, the cleaner, is going through the couch and he says, "Hey, I found a diamond ring." As he says those words, the other boss of the house says, "Wonderful, because Leah lost that ring and she gave up hope of ever finding it." Says Yossi, "That's very good, because I've learned that if you give up hope, then the person who finds it can keep it, and I don't have to be Yossi the cleaner anymore." So now we're in Basin. We're in the situation of Basin. Who's a Basin? Leah's husband finally finds out about the course of events, and he's in Basin with Yossi. Yossi claims, "Gave up hope, it's mine." The husband claims, "What do you mean? It's yours. It's mine. Why is it mine? Because what did we learn last week? A halach in Shulchan Aruch. Every present that a husband gives his wife belongs to the wife, except for jewelry. Jewelry doesn't belong to the wife. Why? Because the reason why a husband gives a jewelry to his wife is not because he wants to give her a present. It's because he wants to look at the jewelry and have enjoyment from the jewelry. How does he enjoy the jewelry? Instead of having it in the shop on the dummy, he can have it on his wife at home, and he can look at the jewelry all the time.
I think she loves the jewelry more than he does.
Therefore, the halakha says in Shulchan Aruch, when there's a divorce or a husband dies, that jewelry belongs to the estate. It doesn't belong to the wife. Because in that, she didn't get it. He got it only for him to look at it. Never gave it to her. It wasn't a present. So therefore, it belongs to the husband. So says the husband, "Yes, my wife gave up hope on the jewelry. But is she the owner of that jewelry?" "No, she's not the owner of the jewelry." "Who's the owner of the jewelry?" "Me, the husband's the owner of the jewelry." There's a halakha in Hilchos Aveda that you can only keep an object where the owner gives up hope. I gave up hope. I never even knew that it was lost. So therefore, please return the jewelry. Now, is the husband correct in his claim?
I don't think so. Because he didn't give this jewelry to his wife. He gave it to her before they were married.
He gave it before they're married. Now, why does he give jewelry before he's married to her?
In order to be able to marry her.
Engagement ring?
Is in order, because if he doesn't, they're going to call off the engagement.
The wedding ring is king and castle. Yes? Well, that we can get round when we learn Hilchos Aveda. Not everything in a private house also automatically belongs to the owner of the house. When we get Hilchos Aveda, we learn why, but it doesn't apply. Yeah? Because the chotzer so can't be kona here. Now, so you're saying that you gave before marriage, so for some reason that makes a difference, or the wedding ring. So let's start with the wedding ring. The wedding ring, he gives it in order to buy her. Yes? How much does he have to buy her?
Well, no, he gives it in order to be kona her.
Kona?
But this is a method of kinyan. It's not the price that
Wedding ring is a form of being kona her. Yes? Of acquiring her. How much does he has to give in order to acquire her? A shava putta. The ring is more than a shava putta.
But he still used it.
Says the Chasam Sofer. When the husband gives a ring, he's not giving the whole ring at the wedding, at the chasna. He's giving a shava putta of the ring in order to acquire her. The rest of the ring, he's not giving. That's the Chasam Sofer.
Really?
Yes. Why give more than you have to?
I think that only applies to Hungarians.
Let's look at now.
Make sure it doesn't have engraving. It shouldn't taste worth more. If he's keeping it anyway,
yeah.
So what's her
thing? She can use it. She can use what she can. What she sees, she can use. She can use. Even what I'm not giving, she can use. She can use. She doesn't think that she's using something $10,000. She's only using something $2,000. Yeah. Now let's look at the geisha ring. The Rivash says that in the geisha ring also the halach of the shulchanach applies, that when somebody gives tachshitim at the time when he's engaged, not yet married, the main reason is more of a strong. Why? Before marriage she's giving it adas to get married. If the shidduch breaks up, for sure he gets it back. He only gets it because he expects to get married. And therefore, until the marriage, he's only getting it, you know, I don't want you to have it at all unless we get married. And while you have it after marriage, I want you to have it. Why do I want you to have it after marriage? In order also to enjoy looking at such a sparkling diamond.
So according to the Rivash, if they get divorced, she has to give back the engagement ring?
She has to give back the engagement ring as well.
Wow.
The minhag, let me tell you what the minhag is that the engagement ring, all the tachshitim you do, that you give back, but the wedding ring you don't have to give. The wedding ring, the minhag is not like the chasam's ring. So now let's talk at Ashlag.
What about rings before the, before the game?
Yeah. So, what ring is Yossi the cleaner holding? The wedding ring or the engagement ring? The engagement ring. And we're saying the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch also applies to the engagement ring. Which means that the engagement ring was only given in order for the husband to enjoy as well. If so, who does it belong to? It belongs to the husband. Did the husband give up hope? No. So if he doesn't give up hope, then he should get it. That is the claim, the start of the claim of the husband. Let us look at the first Maramakum the Shulchan Aruch. The Ibn Ezra says like this. Amana Shabar Ligvos Ksubasa. A widower who comes to claim her ksuba. She wants her ksuba. Shomim kol bigdeh ben shachol ben shashabas. We work out how much her clothes are worth. Even Shabbos clothes. A Menachi knows the Ksuba, sir. We don't give her a whole Ksuba. We say, well, Ksuba is 200 Zuz. Which is about nowadays, the whole Ksuba nowadays is about $2,800, according to the Beis Mekel Shitta. You should know that. It's only $2,800, according to the most lenient Shitta. So, $2,800. $2,800, the whole Ksuba. Yeah, unless you're Sfardi and you add things.
Why do you Menachah the clothes?
Now, you owe $2,800 to her. But she's got clothes, which is really mine. Clothes and nice fancy clothes and tachshitim belong to mine. She's got nice clothes. So what do? keep your clothes, but I'm not giving you $2,800. I work out how much your clothes worth. Let's say it's worth $1,000, those clothes. Now I only owe you $1,800 as ksuba. The ein, says the Shulchan Aruch, is not like a joint deal. The ein yochul l'sakim mitzvah. Even if you want her clothes, you can't get her clothes. She keeps the clothes. Those clothes, even though they belong to the husband, she can keep, but she has to pay. You can't force her to give those clothes.
Why?
Why? Because there's a halacha. Yes. What do we see from here? What do we see from here? That even although he gave those clothes to her, not as a present, but just for him to enjoy, still he never sees the clothes in his life. He only ever sees back money, the value of the clothes. Why? Because how do we interpret, therefore, what he's giving? I'm not saying he's not giving a present as a clothes. He's basically saying that I'm not giving as a present these clothes, but I'm definitely selling these clothes. That's what it means. Yes? These clothes which I'm giving to you belong to you, and I can never get back. But it's not belong to you up without payment. You have to pay.
Why do we say that he's giving them to her at all? Maybe he's just keeping him and letting her wear them.
So that's what we see from the Shulchan Aruch, that he's not saying, I'm not giving you at all. And on the other hand, we're not saying he's giving it as a present. He's saying that I'm giving these, but not bechinam, not for nothing. You have to pay for them. I can't get them back because the deal's already done. I've already given you the clothes. The tanai of the deal, these clothes in exchange for money. I now can't take it back, but you have to pay money.
So when a husband gives his wife clothing, is he expecting to get money in return?
Yes, because he doesn't give it for free. Doesn't waste
you
money.
You never get money in return.
He only wants to enjoy it.
But husbands don't get
yes,
money in return for clothes.
Because at divorce...
But let's say they don't get divorced.
At divorce, or he dies, then the state gets money.
The
state gets money.
Money,
yes.
It's not a part of the tonight suit.
No.
The
it says in the thing, the Begodim, it says Begodim is not referring to the Begodim. It's just saying that I have to make sure that she has the ability to have those. Yeah, that's it. Doesn't mean I don't paying, charging her. Now, this Shulchan Aruch was set by clothes. Shabbos clothes. Shabbos clothes. The husband gives to his wife. He's not giving it as a present, but on the other hand, he's not keeping the clothes for himself. He's giving it in exchange for money. Which means...
We take clothes also.
Yes, we take clothes.
So when the Torah, when you have shared sisvona, that means I'm not equipped to give it to you, I just can sell it to you?
I'm going to provide it to you. But doesn't mean I have to provide you the chinom. In the time of marriage, I have to give it to him.
Oh.
In the time of the marriage, then you have to pay.
But you already gave it to her in the time of marriage.
Yeah, time of marriage, I'll ask that if we ever split up, then you're going to have to pay for it.
Why doesn't he have to enunciate that almanas in order
because to... Because that's how we understood when you're giving clothes, that's what you mean. Yeah, it's your life. You just want to enjoy the clothes, but you don't want to do it. So the question now, if we extend this also when he gives jewellery to his wife. He gives jewellery to his wife. Let's learn like this. He gives jewellery to his wife, but not as a present. He wants to enjoy it. Do we say also by jewellery that when the marriage breaks up, that she can keep the jewellery even against his will, but she has to pay for it or not? The nafgamin is in our case. If we say she always keeps the jewellery, it's just when the marriage is broken, then she has to pay for it, but the husband can never actually get the jewellery back, then who is the owner of the jewellery at the time of marriage? Who's the owner of the jewellery? The wife! Because the husband never gets it back. She has to pay for it. If she is the owner of the jewellery, then who gave up hope? The wife! Therefore, by saying, I've given up hope, even though the husband hasn't, she is the owner of the jewellery, and therefore it should work, and Yossi the cleaner should be able to keep the jewellery. So the husband says, the jewelry belongs to me. Says the wife back. Says the Yossi back. What do you mean? The jewelry you never get back. You never get the jewelry back. The wife always keeps the jewelry. She has to pay for it. So therefore, if she always keeps it, then she's the one who gave up hope. And therefore, you're giving up hope, then Yossi the cleaner can keep the jewelry.
It doesn't really sell the clothes. If someone's married 10 years, and every year he buys her $500 of clothing, so it doesn't mean that when they get divorced 10 years later, she only owes the $500 that she owns. So she doesn't owe $500 every year for the clothing she doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
If she loses the diamond ring and they get divorced, does she now owe money because of the diamond ring? Let's say she lost the money, the diamond ring. She owes for diamond ring.
We're going to discuss all these issues, yes? So now we're halting with a machlokas between the Tom Rebbeni of the husband and the Tom Rebbeni of Yossi. Who exactly belongs this engagement ring? Does it belong to the husband and therefore he never gave up hope and Yossi can't keep it? Or does it belong to the wife and therefore she gave up hope and therefore Yossi can keep it? And we're still holding at the moment that the Chora, it seems, that it belongs to the wife because the wife can always keep the jewelry.
Why should the ring be considered?
We said last week, which you've forgotten already, that ring, all jewellery, he never gives as a present.
I'm not saying that. So why should the ring be considered
clothes? So I'm asking, is it the same? You know who asked your question? Rekiva Eger. Rekiva Eger, look at Shut Rekiva Eger, Maal Mokin number 2, says like this. You asked me a question about the Shulchan Aruch talking about clothes. What about jewelry? She always keeps the clothes, she just has to pay the money. And even that says those of and she keeps it. In name again, Gabbat Yashitim. Do we also say this by jewelry? Ki Kesem Kisov? Says Rekiva Eber, Mistabra Diyok in the Salkum Mehem. No, we don't say that by jewellery. By jewellery, the husband never gave it as a present, and he can always get the jewellery back. There's a difference between clothes and jewellery. Clothes, he gives it to her and says, look, if we have a breakup, you can keep it, and if you do keep it, then you have to pay for it. But jewellery, I never give to you. You're just a stool for halting. You're halting the jewellery. I never gave it to you. It was never yours, and it never will be yours. As soon as the marriage is off, I take it back. Automatically, even against your objections, you cannot keep it. So, according to Rekiva Eger, jewelry but definitely belongs to the husband. It belongs to the husband. He never gave up hope. Yossi can't keep it. Now, the question I want to ask you now, okay, how do we look at the status of that jewellery during the lifetime of the marriage? What is the status of that jewellery? She's using it, and we're saying the husband gets it back after the marriage is broken, the husband gets it back. So what is the status of that jewellery during the marriage?
It's on loan.
It's on loan?
That's the only thing.
It's a shom, it's the same thing. You're saying you're borrowing it. Yes, that's a shom as a type of borrow. Everyone's saying they're borrowing. Says the chasm sofa, no. What's the other way of looking at it? Velo motzi gizba velo shum bachov nikvos mehem. There's a halacha, says the chasm sofa. There's a halacha. The husband owes debts to people, yes? The husband owes money. He borrowed money. Let's say he borrowed $100,000. And he has got nowhere paying. So what does he have to do? He has to pay in his assets, liquidate his assets in order to pay his debts. You're all telling me in the shir that one of his assets is the jewelry which his wife is wearing, yes?
Well, that's what you're telling us.
You're telling me that she borrows it. So who owns it? The husband. That's one of his assets, yes? If it's one of his assets, and he owes $100,000, he's got no way of paying in cash, and he has to liquidate the assets, So it should be that when the Baal Chov comes to the basin, he should say, take the jewelry off your wife's neck and give it to me, because that belongs to me, you, doesn't it? It doesn't belong to the wife, it belongs to you. You borrowed money, you owe me money. The jewelry on that, on your wife's neck is not hers, it's yours. You owe me money, so therefore you got no money for it. I'm claiming from your assets. Take the jewelry off her neck. Okay, very good. Very good. But the Halach in Shulchan Aruch says that when it comes to jewelry, the Baal Chov cannot claim from the jewelry of the wife. Says the Chassid Sofer, I don't understand. On one hand, you're telling me that the jewelry belongs to the husband because when the marriage is broken up, he gets them back even against her objections. On the other hand, you're telling me, if it belongs to the husband, on the other hand, you're telling me that a husband owes money, you can't claim from the jewelry of his wife. Why? It belongs to him. So how are you going to rectify the two halachas? How do you rectify the halacha which says the husband gets the money, gets the jewelry back when the marriage is broken up, and the halacha which says that the Baal Chov can't claim from that jewelry? Why not? If it belongs to us, we should be able to claim. That's the Chassid Sofer's quandary. So what would you answer?
It's
very good. Same as what you said. Let's look at the Chassid Sofer. Yeah, the Shulchan Aruch says that you can't take anything from the jewelry. Yeah. So it says the Chassid Sofer, Zahavle kamotona almanach lachzir. We see from this that the definition of that jewelry is that the husband says, here, I've got a wonderful present for you. Here, it's lovely. Please put it on. Wear this lovely jewelry. On condition that you return it to me when the marriage breaks up. That's what it means when your husband gives jewelry to his wife.
Say,
he doesn't speak it out.
How condition you stay married to me?
But that's what it means halakhically when a husband, even without speaking out, gives jewelry to his wife. It means I'm giving you as a present. On condition you give it back to me if the marriage breaks up.
So then,
either through divorce or through death.
So then while the wife is still married, can a creditor of the wife take the jewelry?
No.
Why not?
He can't take the jewelry.
It's hers.
Because it also belongs to the husband.
No, it doesn't. It's mana.
No, I'm not asking.
It's going to.
On condition you give it back. If
so
the creditor takes it. If the creditor takes it, can you give it back?
So then that means all I have to do is give all of my assets to my wife as a matana amnach lachzir, and all of our creditors are forever barred from taking any of our assets.
Correct. But people... what do you mean? They do it all the time. All the money changers who go out of business because they've and they owe a huge amount of money to the people who use them. What do? All their nachosim is in their wife's name.
That's fine. But so they go after the wife. Here I can't go after anybody. No, can't go after the husband or the wife.
That's Derek or people do.
Here I can't go after anybody.
That's what they do. That's his way of from your Baal Chov.
That's because I'm putting it in somebody else's title. Yeah. Here I'm putting it in nobody's title.
I'm putting it in, you got rights, and therefore Baal Chov can't take the rights of the way. You know how he does it? He lends money to the couple. That's how he protects himself.
That's not going to help.
He signs his husband and the wife
on it. It doesn't belong to either of us.
No, because then both people who have got rights here owe me money.
Fine, but
so
I don't owe you money.
That's how you get around it.
You can't sue both of us at the same time. You have to either take me to Basin or him to Basin.
No, they both need to
Basin. Okay, but we're two separate cases.
No, you're one case.
Doesn't matter, we're standing in the same room.
No. Okay. So now we've established exactly what this engagement ring is. It's a present on condition you give it back when the marriage is over. So how do you look at it now? Can the wife give up hope of ownership over him? Can the husband, who's the one who has the right to give up any ownership over him? between, you've had the answer between me and Matzis, that the argument over here already gave you the answer. What's the answer? In order for somebody who finds that jewelry to be able to keep it, who has to give up hope? Both of them. Both of them, because both of them have rights in the jewelry. And you can't take that without having consent from both parties. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Next stage. So at the moment we're holding that Yossi doesn't get it. He doesn't get it because the husband didn't give up the... Now, what's the halacha of somebody who has a present amanas lachzir and he loses it? He loses it. He's got a present. That's your question you asked a few minutes ago. Somebody's giving you a present like this. Giving you a present. Because you should give it back after marriage breaks up. Okay, it's a present amanas lachzir. Give it back. What happens if the one who received the present loses it? What is his obligation in respect to the one who gave him the present? If the wife who got a present amanas lachzir, she has to give it back. But she loses it. She can't give it back. Yes? What is her now responsibility in respect to the one who gave her the present? Okay. So before we wanted to find what is her relationship while she's got that present in respect to the one who gave her that present. What's her duty over it?
Shomer?
She's a shomer. What type of shomer is she? Yeah, because what we're saying, this present belongs to two people. Yeah? I own it, Colesman, that we're married. The wife owns it all the time she's married. Then she has to give it back when the marriage breaks up. So therefore it's joint ownership. That's what we just said. So what is the wife, if one of the partners is holding on to the object, what is the relationship of that partner in respect to the other partner on that object? You've got an object called the ring belongs to two parties, and it physically is in the hands of one of the partners. What's the relationship of that partner halachically to the other partner who also has the ownership, but he's not holding it at the moment? He's a shomer. Shomer socha. You're shoel.
Shomer
chinuch. So we got all the options.
He's not paying her.
He's getting a benefit.
She's got responsibility.
Not Shomer Chinam. You're saying everyone's got their different ideas. You're saying she's not getting physically paid. You're saying the Maisha, she's getting benefits. That's like paying, so it's like Shomer Shasla. And you heard, said the word of Shoel. Yes? Borrowing. Oh, you say so. Okay. We don't get set to it. No, we don't set to it. Don't set. No, you can't say both. Your logic only fits with Shomer Socha. So let's see how it's defined. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Mem Aleph says like this. Nosan Shah Lachaveira. Somebody gives a ox to his friends. Amanat Lachzir B'Tocha Lamedyum. On condition you give it back in 30 days. Within 30 days. Umeitz betochazman, and that ox dies within 30 days, so he can't give it back. Hotza milishalem, the one who received the present doesn't have to pay, even though he can't give it back. Why? Afilu beganeva beza. Not only if it dies, he's potter from paying, but even if it's stolen or lost, he's potter from paying. Why? De'enu ela k'shomer chinam. Because his status is only a shomer chinam. Somebody gives a present, that the one who's received the present is a shomer, he's looking after it, because the owner still has rights in it, because he expects it back. But what type of shomer is he? He's considered halachically the feed of Shulchan Aruch a shomer. What is he? Shomer chinam. Is the shomer chinam chayv and geneva vaveza? No. So therefore, if he gets lost during that time, he doesn't. She doesn't have to pay.
But she lost him.
Oh, I get it. So let us, therefore, if so, now let's see what the Torah Rebbe of Yossi says. He says like this. The jewelry belongs to both parties, the husband and the wife. And therefore, the husband who's the owner didn't give up hope. But as soon as the wife, who's the owner as well, who's a partner, loses it, at that stage, what is her commitment to the husband?
No.
Nothing. No. Geneva Beta, she's a shomer chinam. She's potter. Let's discuss where there's negligence in it. We'll get there. Aveta is Geneva Aveta. Therefore, she's potter from paying. Okay, potter from paying. Therefore, what should be the halacha? Who, therefore, belongs that ring? No. No, doesn't.
If it's ever recovered, it belongs to the husband.
Who, if it's ever recovered, what's the halacha? It goes back to the husband. It goes back to the original owner, whoever the owners were.
The person is watching the shore getting benefit, he doesn't. He's a
shomer chinam. Matana, you can use it. Matana, you can use it for the 30 days.
Why is he
shomer chinam?
Why is he
a shomer chinam? Why is he a shomer chinam? Matana, I know. No. What I'm using is mine. What I'm looking after, which is after the 30 days, I have no benefit from after the 30 days. Your chinam. Yeah. So therefore, the Torah Rebbe of Yossi says that like this. Yes, it's written here in the Sma that is a shomer chinam, and therefore it should come out that when it's lost, she doesn't pay. If it's ever recovered, it goes back to the owners, who the owners vote for them, and therefore, since it's still under the ownership of the husband. The husband never gave up hope, then the Torah Rebbe of Yossi loses. But the Torah Rebbe of Yossi says, like this, the Machli Ephraim argues on this Sma. There's a Machli Ephraim who holds that she's not a Shomer Chinam. What is she? She is a Shol. She is a Shol. And therefore, according to the Machne Ephraim, she does have to pay. If she has to pay, when as soon as she loses it, what does the husband now have a right to have? The object or money? She's lost it, and she has to pay, according to the Machne Ephraim? Yeah, so what's now the husband's rights in this world?
It depends if he gets paid or not.
He gets the money. That's her duty. Her duty is now to pay for that object. So therefore, since her duty is to pay for the object, as soon as the husband's paid for that object, he has given up ownership on that object as well.
But he's paid for it.
Yes. And therefore, when does the husband get paid by the wife?
Never.
When does the wife have to pay? Raise up. How does she pay? Cutting down the ksuba. It's automatic payment here. If there's an automatic payment between the wife and the husband, it's not that you have to pull anything out of her, because all you're doing is saying, I don't owe you now $2,800. I only owe you $1,000 in advance of the marriage breaking up. There's an automatic payment. Therefore, if there's an automatic payment, either you've already got payments. If you've got already payments, then the ring belongs not to you anymore, the husband. Therefore, Yossi the cleaner cannot keep it.
But if the ksuba is $2,800, the ring is worth more than the ksuba. What does it do with the difference? If the ksuba is only 2,800.
Yes.
That this is all I get, all you get, and therefore, even if the loss is greater, I'm stuck with the amount in the skiba. I
no, that's not true. That's not true.
She owes him more than
not even if it's greater. You added the word even.
So here it's greater. The suit is only $2,800. The engagement ring is more at
$2,800. If the engagement ring ends up being more, then she has to pay more.
Unless you bought it a bubblegum machine, then it's more than $2,800.
What if she finds the ring? What if she finds the ring? So she's already on five to pay him because she lost it.
Yes.
So now she finds the ring.
So she's ready paid. She owns the ring. What she ready pays, she owns the ring. If she owns the ring, that means she's bought the partner out. If she bought the partner out, then she's the sole owner, and the sole owner, she gave up hope. Says, Yossi, I can keep it.
She loses it for 5 minutes, and she dies there 5 minutes later. So that now, because
did she give up hope?
And what if she dies first? There's no ksuba. What if she dies first? There's no ksuba.
No ksuba,
then her estate is mechuyev to pay him for it.
She's entitled. If she had children, entitled to the ksuba.
What?
If it's the, she's got children.
If she dies first?
Now she has to give it back. If she doesn't give it back, then she has it has to go back to the state. But if she hasn't got anything to give it back, but she's already lost it, she pays for it. Yes? Okay. So that's where we're halting. We're halting that it's a machlokas whether the ring belongs to the partnership because she doesn't have to pay, or the ring only belongs to her because she has to pay and she's already paid. And therefore, nafka min in between Yossi. Can he keep it or not? Now, let's add more to this. Did she lose it? Did she lose it? Let's add more. Did she lose it? Or was she negligent? Why did it... What's called aveda? Geneva aveda, which is shoma chinam spata, and a shoma sok and a shol is high one. What's called aveda?
Or if they don't keep that standard,
they're
responsible.
So, was she negligent or she lost it? What was it? If she's negligent, she's negligent. You can lose things. Very easy.
It's customary for women to get up, and it's customary for women to get up.
So, taking your rings down and putting them down next to the sink and not recovering them, that's called? If your wife does it, would you be very happy with her?
No, sir.
You'll say you're negligent. Yes? Therefore, even according to the smar that says that she's a shomer chinam, but that's only if she's not negligent. Maybe she's negligent, a shomer chinam also has to pay. So therefore, even your whole like the smart, she has to pay. Therefore, according to everybody, she has to pay. Therefore, according to everybody, since she has to pay, and she's already paid, therefore Yossi gets the ring. So
but she hasn't already paid.
He has. Because it's already cut off from her ksuba.
No, it's
automatic.
First of all, there may not be a ksuba because she may die first. Second of all, the ring is worth more than the ksuba. She has the difference between the value of the ksuba and the ring she has to still pay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, very good. So the basin. So that's how the Tal Rebbeinis finished off their discussion. Now the basin had to sit and decide who do we accept their opinion. So, what do we do in this case? So Matis is very good. Both reasons why it doesn't apply and Yossi can't keep the ring. Why Yossi can't keep the ring? Firstly, they went and evaluated the ring. And first, that's why I told you the minimum value of the ksuba according to the lenient opinion is $2,800. Yes? The maximum value of a ksuba is $36,000 according to today's rate. Big difference. Two big difference. Yeah? Difference of opinions. Now, they went and evaluated the ring. Yes? How much do you think the ring came out to be?
Somewhere between those two numbers.
At least $5,000. At least.
It was...
Right.
It was $7,000. So, since it's $7,000, if you hold the ksuba is $2,800, you haven't paid. Yeah, you still owe me $4,200. You still owe. Ah, you're going to claim, but I hold them according the opinions that the ksuba is $38,000. I, Yossi, who's got the ring, can say, I hold the opinions that the ksuba is $38,000, and therefore, according to that, she's been paid already, she's paid. Why is that such a terrible statement, and it doesn't even, not worth saying in front of a basin?
Most of it's a barrel of rice. She can't expect $2,800.
Because the Maisa, how much money she's going to get from the ksuba?
$2,800.
The Maisa, when she eventually gets the ksuba, yes? $2,800. So look, practically, she's only got $2,800. But even though it's a machlokas, she only gets $2,800. So practically, she hasn't paid the husband. So therefore, it's not acceptable such a thing. Secondly, who says she'll ever get the ever get ksuba? Like you said,
maybe. No,
maybe she'll die first. Yeah, maybe she'll die first. Like you said. So therefore, based on that. The based on Paskins, for sure the ring doesn't just belong to the wife, it also belongs to the husband. The partner's in the ring, and the partner's in the ring, only one of the partners giving up hope is not enough. And therefore, Yossi, you have to give back the ring.
There's one factor we didn't discuss here, which Yossi, what was he doing when he found the ring?
He was cleaning.
So wasn't he an agent for the Balabosta and cleaning her house?
Not for finding the sis.
In her house, no?
No, not for finding the sis, only
she
for cleaning.
She expects him to retire.
Only for
thought.
Cleaning. She's not paid to find the sis. Okay. Now, let's move to the second shayla. The second dinter. It's like this. A husband and wife get married. It's a second marriage for the wife. First marriage for the husband. Second marriage for the wife, first marriage for the husband. Because it's a second marriage of the wife, she's not on much demand in the shidduch. She doesn't have good opportunities for good shidduch. Unfortunately, that's the mitzvah. And therefore, the father of the wife, the father of the kala, says, you know what, whoever marries her, I'll give half an apartment, I'll buy an apartment, and I'll put half of that apartment in the name of the chosen. Okay? Because of that, she was able to find a chosen who hasn't yet been married. It's the first marriage of the chosen. Yes, the chosen is enticed to such a deal. No, he said, I'm going to give the whole apartment and put half of it in the name of the chosen. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm buying the apartment, the chosen doesn't need to buy an apartment, and half of it will be registered in his name, and half in her name. So the chosen steps forward and takes up the deal.
Okay. In her name or in the father's name?
Her name, and the chosen's name, half, and half in the color. Yeah, partners now. Partners now. After 2 years, the marriage is broken. And now we're in Basin. Who's in Basin? Not the father of the color. He's been nifta a year ago. Who's in Basin? It's the kala, the former kala, with the former chosen. in Beis Din. And she's claiming, yes, my father gave half of the dira to the chosim, but that was only al das that we'll stay married. As soon as we don't stay married, we get it back. Just like there's a halacha that the husband who gives tachshitin, who gives jewelry, is only doing it in order that, well, they stay married, she gets it, but then he gets back the jewelry. So also, when the chosin gets half of the tira, half of that apartment is given al das that they're going to stay married. If they're not going to stay married, then it should go back to the owner, the one who gave it.
Father.
So what does the chosin answer? The chosin answer says, this is not jewellery.
Yeah?
What's jewellery? Jewellery is to make you look nice. Yes? What's got to do with the apartment? Apartment's got nothing to do with looking nice. That's like a present. A present is given the half to me. That's first. Secondly, even if you're correct, who does it go back to?
The father.
The father. Yeah, and now the father's not alive, who does it go to?
The sons.
The sons, because they're the Yashim. Who are you? Who are you?
I'm their sister.
I don't need to sit and base them with you. You're not anyone who's got any claim. Why do I have to even answer your Shiloh? Okay.
So just call her brother up and bring him in.
He doesn't even know who she is.
So, we'll just say what Rabbi Yashiv said, and we'll discuss the Shaila in detail next week. We'll just finish off with what Rabbi Yashiv says. If you look at number 5, he says, Rabbi Yashiv says, it's poshut to me.
Number 5?
Yeah. He says, it's poshut to me that the halacha is like this. He says in Shulchan Aruch, Dafka she'osam lo habal. If the husband gives jewelry, then we've got halacha that jewelry is just a present which he expects back when the marriage is broken up. But if it's not the husband who gives jewelry to the wife, but it's other people who gives jewelry to that wife, b'shas nisuin, that marriage, which includes the father-in-law gives jewelry at the time of the marriage. He gives jewelry to the kala, matana gemur niskavna. That for sure is a present. Harry Henkin, this same looks a lot. It definitely belongs to the person who that present's given to. Says Rabbi Yashiv. I'll just finish off Rabbi Yashiv before you say hold on. We see over here that this svara of giving jewelry, it's only a temporary thing that you're going to have to give it back if you break up. It's only if the husband gives presents. But if anybody else gives presents, there is no such understanding over there that it's given on certain conditions and marriage and everything like that. It's definitely given as a present, gemurah, as matana gemurah. And therefore, when the father of the kala wrote half of the apartments in the chosin's name, that is definitely a matana gemurah, absolute present. If it's an absolute present, even in an event when marriage breaks up, it doesn't come back. And therefore the chosin can keep it. That's how Rabbi Yashiv says. However, we'll see next week whether it's so clear or not enough.
Now, according to Rabbi Yashiv, according to Rabbi Yashiv, let's go back to the previous case. Who do you think paid for the engagement ring? The chosin or the chosin's father?
Who do you think gave it?
That's right. The chosin.
Who do you think
it never
gave
belonged
it?
To the chosin for him to give it.
How does it work?
It works that your chosin's father says, here, give it to your kala.
Who gives it?
So it should depend. So it's the taka should be
That's right.
But here we're talking about not where.